This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Put your hands up. Put your phone up. Put your watch up. Hip Hop Grew Up 13.
Welcome back, everybody.
And the state of our podcast is strong.
The state of our podcast?
The state of our podcast is strong.
The state is strong.
Man. Did you get to hear that speech from our old great one?
President?
Yeah.
I didn't listen.
Yeah, a lot of people was kind of tuned out.
I think I was watching David Banner on Drink Champs, washing dishes.
He was the guest?
Yes.
What'd they talk about?
A lot.
Dang. Oh, speaking of that, yeah, I mean, what are you talking about?
A lot. It's David Banner, so.
A lot.
Ownership and just mogul, just making money and, you know, staying true to your people above everything. You know, he goes into so much politics and race and class and finances and philosophy and
great knowledge,
spirituality. Yeah, you know, he's a scholar.
Shout out to David Banner.
He's a scholar and a half, so it was enjoyable.
That's good. All right.
So you ever heard him talk? Interviews, speeches?
Yes, all the time. I remember Matt did one with him a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
So he's trying to. To me, he reminds me of Killer Mike a lot.
Yes,
they're both
Mississippi just, Killer Mike.
Yeah, they're just scholars, man. They got the whole package.
Educated young black man.
Yeah, educating, you know, and entrepreneurial, just really smart.
Very.
So he was representing that. And he's from Mississippi, of course. Went to Southern University, which is in my parents' hometown, where my mom and my sister went to college. So shout out Southern U.
It's a mascot.
Was the class president, the Jaguars.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so, yeah, they said he was like battle rapper dude and very conscious, you know, Malcolm X type dude in college.
And so that was way more interesting than the State of the Union by Donald J. Trump, which kind of seems like a WWF, like,
yeah,
presentation. It just seems like people clapping. It's just all staged.
Right. I watched Killer Mike and David Banner for State of the Union. My wife was watching.
That's great.
So she could, you know, discuss it with her mom.
Yeah.
They keep up. And I heard about Stacey Abrams giving a speech that was, like, supposed to be, you know, kind of the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't listen to it.
Yeah.
So if you think me listening to it is important out there, I apologize.
He just hurt y'all's feelings. Did not listen to the Democratic response.
I apologize for being out of touch with that broadcast. Yeah.
It was, he spoke for a long time as he always does. And so I know we discussed on here, it kind of just sounds like he's winging a lot of it. Most of it kind of seemed like it was typed up and written. And he was saying it a lot slower. But it was apparently they're still angry at each other. Democrats and Republicans are still mad. I know in my hometown of Del Rio, and I know right next door in Eagle Pass, there were a lot of police and federal and state and federal police there to ensure that this giant caravan wasn't coming through. Excuse me. So, yeah, to make sure this giant caravan wasn't coming through. And so, I know a lot of that's going on, and the State of the Union's got people riled up. But I did get to see this guy I DJed for, who's running for president, Julian Castro, was the mayor of San Antonio, and was under the Department of Housing during Obama administration. He was on Jimmy Kimmel last night,
mm-hmm.
and sounded good. And I think Kimmel was kind of liking the idea of this guy running for president. And as a Mexican dude, I've never in my life seen a candidate that's like, okay, this dude sounds like an honest guy who looks like me. You know what I mean? A lot of the politicians who run, and I'm not saying a lot. I guess I am saying a lot, but it's kind of been tainted. So it's just kind of hard to find honest people. So shout out to Julian Castro. Saw that on there. I don't know if you got to check it out.
I did not.
Speechless.
I did not.
I got a DJ for him at that when he announced his presidency in San Antonio, and he cut me a check from a bank, and the bank it wasn't like a Wells Fargo or Chase, right?
Right.
It wasn't like a credit union or even like something that's okay, just a regular bank. So I'm just like, what? I looked up the bank online, and it was like it's like a social justice bank. And so I like
a social justice bank.
Yeah, I didn't think. I was like, what? So it's kind of, I guess, like a nonprofit, or it does something good. I looked it up.
Right. Later. We've been talking about, you know, 500 and, or no, what was it? $50.5 million into social justice prison reform from just a few hip-hop entities. What was it? Travis Scott, Jay-Z, Meek Mill.
Yes.
And all the people they were working with. So, yeah, there's definitely like a business side, you know, to the nonprofit, the social justice.
Yeah, this bank equity. Says, we're the bank for people who care what their money does in the world. When you deposit your money at our bank, and I'm not going to say it just because, it supports sustainable organizations, progressive causes, and social justice. We are committed to the environment and social responsibility. We're net zero. So is that, I guess, nonprofit net zero and powered by 100% renewable energy? What does net zero mean?
I don't know what net zero means.
We've got to look that up. And we have a long, proud history of providing affordable access to the banking system, supporting immigrants and affordable housing, and being a champion of workers' rights. Normally, you don't see that on the front of, you know, Bank of America.
Right. Right.
Right. So that's cool seeing that. And so I thought that was cool. I was like, all right, cool. Very neat.
Well, social responsibility is kind of a new wave in corporate. I think.
Explain that.
I think in a sense, industry is kind of running out of things to market,
okay,
to take to market, to drive business. And so now it's marketing in the form of storytelling.
Okay.
And
like the Tom shoes.
Right. Exactly. Social responsibility is like part of a corporate structure now, corporate belief structure.
Okay.
So to me, that means sometimes it's real and sometimes it's kind of for show.
Okay. I got you. So depending on the organization, if you do your research, look into what they're really doing, the splits, right?
It makes sense.
Okay.
Just to be informed. So, but I like the idea of people getting more into social justice.
Explain social justice, because I know it's kind of like a new, in education at least, it seems like it's kind of the new wave, as you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, it pretty much breaks down into two words. Okay. You know, the social is, you know, people. Effect on society and all those, you know, cross sections and intersections and classifications of people. And so, and then justice, obviously, is just justice, as in justice for all, as in, you know, equality and equity, equality,
being fair,
equality and opportunity.
Yes, being fair.
And to some reason, right, being fair. And so there's a line between what's social justice and what's just human decency. I was reading an article the other day that brought that to mind.
Okay.
Like, what is social justice versus just being a decent person?
Explain some differences.
Well, social justice, in theory, should be working against and changing
unfair practices.
The system.
Okay.
The system. So, should be changing the structures and the way that things actually work.
Gotcha.
In a way that's, you know, respecting the humanity of all humans. And that makes good sense.
Okay.
So the question is whether it's being pitched as like, oh, we're taking care of, you know, these kids at this place, or we're doing these things for the environment. And whether it's just, like I'm saying, because that's a wave, I try to read that type of language real critically. There's a wave, social justice. What have you heard about it in education, for example? I'm sure it'll resonate. What have you heard? When you think of social justice, what comes to mind for you?
Well, I teach history, right? So it's a way of telling history, not just in the into what it's kind of including everyone, not just you know, rich white males, which are like kind of the number one kind of person mentioned, right? In almost all Texas history curriculum.
Right.
So this is just kind of including more of women, more of people of color, more of people from the LGBT community, just involving more of them, because a lot of times they're excluded from stories.
Yep.
So that's what I hear about it in the in social studies. What other aspects do you talk about in social justice?
Yeah, that's called inclusiveness. So this is just different parts of language.
Okay.
So and that makes sense. And social justice is one of many terms that all revolve around this concept of equity.
Okay.
In society, because we know there's been a lot of inequity where a lot of people, you know, the way things are set up. You talked about that white male, you know, dominance and privilege and patriarchy. And a lot of that language is actually what I'm getting into on my job as well.
Okay.
So some more terms, because I'm looking at them all the time. Cultural proficiency, which means you've done enough inside work to where you can work with people outside of yourself. You've done enough work on your identity and your perspective and how you see the world to where you can appreciate the differences between you and another person because you're able to understand.
And cognizant of yourself.
Yeah, yeah, being cognizant of yourself in order to be cognizant of what's around you and, you know.
Knowing your strengths and see how you can, like, apply yourself with others or.
Yep.
Social circle, other social circles.
Absolutely. So there's that culturally because, you know, most teachers are probably young white women, you know?
Yeah.
And most students are not. For example, in Austin, ISD, there's half as many white kids as, half as many white kids as Mexican kids. But if you look at the teachers, you know, it's dominant. And not just Mexicans, but what's listed as Hispanics. And so that there has to be an understanding and appreciation of culture to be effective. A lot of people ain't coming from standard mainstream English homes. And we talked about that a little bit last week.
Yes.
So, yeah, the equity piece is does every.
So how does social justice help that situation? What actual piece are there?
That mindset would be, is everybody getting what they need? And that particular concept is called equity.
And that would be like, are they gaining accommodations for languages, you know?
Right.
For speaking a different language at home, are they?
Right.
Is that?
For real. Right, absolutely.
But like for real.
Yeah, like for real. Yeah. You know what I mean when I say that.
Like we're not just checking a box, like we are making sure they have the skills to be successful on an exam.
Right, because there's a range of, you know, opportunities and situations, and we worked in different schools to know that there's a situation where you have a range of between stated and actually delivered, you know, as far as learning opportunities. And so, and it's tough because you're in a context where you have to manage a lot of relationships and time, et cetera, because of all the complexities in education alone. But so, but yes, equity and as well as in business and just in society overall, social justice. So getting people to, you know, just kind of acknowledge people's humanity across differences.
Yes. And being like, oh, okay, it's different. Don't worry. We can work with that.
Right.
It's being social justice. It's being understanding.
Yeah.
Of the differences.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, social justice is just one of many terms. Okay. But.
Social responsibility.
Right. It's.
What's that term?
So that is from, remember Keith Matheny?
Yes.
Teaches SEL at Austin High. Great educator of educators.
Yeah, he's I listen to his PD and it kind of brings tears to your eyes. And he
really
sweats and
oh yeah,
he gets into it, but it's worth every penny for sure.
Right. I went to grad school with his wife, Corey, assistant principal of. She's not. Let's see. What school is it? Clayton Elementary. And so this guy presented to us where, according to a certain poll that seemed legit, I don't have all the names of who did the research, but the top five qualities, skills, applied skills, four applied skills and one like, you know, regular like school subject type area. Mm-hmm. And the top five skills, 21st century skills, they listed it, were number one was work ethic.
That's the number one thing that companies want to see, work ethic.
Yep.
Okay, next one.
I'm missing half of that, though. It's like work ethic and something else. I'll get to it. Second was teamwork and collaboration. Mm-hmm. Next one was oral communication.
Okay.
Number four was ethics and social responsibility.
Okay.
See where I'm going with this?
Yes.
And then number five was reading comprehension. But ethics and social responsibility. So what I'm saying is social justice, et cetera, there's kind of a wave where that language is just kind of being adopted mm-hmm. in corporate as well. So I'm having to keep an eye out and really think critically in between what's more for show and what's more for growth in actual justice mm-hmm. in our society. Because it can be difficult to tell between the two at a glance.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Speaking of justice, and a rapper that we've been talking about a lot, 21 Savage, a lot.
Mm-hmm. A lot.
He, it was interesting because I remember at one, Tekashi 6ix9ine, the, you know, Mexican rapper from New York with the rainbow hair.
Mm-hmm.
And tattoos on his face. Who's behind bars right now. I remember seeing like a video and 21 Savage was like talking, "Nah, you're a snitch," or something. And like 6 hours later, it's 21 Savage is like, says he got arrested by ICE as being deported because he's from the UK. And I just thought, like, at first, I was like, is this a joke? You know what I'm saying? Like, this right. is like some spoof or something. Turns up it's true. What have you heard?
I haven't heard anything, but I've read a few things on the internet where in general, yes, mm. it seems that he's detained by ICE. And there's a lot of other stories on the internet around it. And the question is, you know, everything from who's his dad to where was he born to when did he get to the States and just different stories about all those different aspects of that. And man, even Jay-Z is getting involved. But I think with 21 Savage, I don't know exactly what happened, except that ICE got him because of his citizenship of the UK. But even on there, it's like, was he born in England or was he born in an island that was in English territory? Is what they're saying in some stories. So there's just a lot of detail to that news.
So interesting.
Everybody, you know, people are leaking or making up a lot of information around it.
So interesting. Like here it says, 26-year-old, this is from CNN, and this came out 16 hours ago. 26-year-old Ryan Smith, who has made his Atlanta upbringing central to music, to his musical persona, was born London Borough, Newham, to British parents, according to a birth certificate obtained by CNN. The document lists his parents as East Ham, a district within Newham. I says he came to the States at age 12, but remains a UK citizen. He entered the United States legally when he was a minor in July 2005, but subsequently failed to depart under the terms of his non-immigrant visa. ICE spokesman Brian Cox said his visa expired in 2006. So it's 2019, 13 years old. So I guess he only had a one-year visa.
Hmm.
In a letter to ICE, Representative Hank Johnson, District of Georgia. So there's a U.S. congressman that's looking out for him, described the rapper as a remarkable young man who spends his time giving back to the community. So there's people reaching out to him. You said Jay-Z. So maybe that he's part of it, or maybe this is some other source.
I read that Jay-Z, this was Hip Hop DX, which mm-hmm. usually, you know, they give sources, but I don't remember it. They say Jay-Z and Roc Nation are paying for a really good lawyer to help him out.
I wonder if they's a part of that. Well, either way, hopefully.
Seems like Jay-Z is holding it down on the social justice.
Yeah. I see you right here on Pitchfork, too. Jay-Z hires attorney to help 21 Savage cause ICE arrest, an absolute travesty.
He keeps coming into the picture when we're looking at, you know.
Hashtag free 21 Savage.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to stop until he's released, bonded out, or in front of a judge. Then 21 Savage released a statement. Jay-Z Meek Mill recently announced.
That's the State of the Union.
Hip-hop State of the Union.
That's the State of the Union. Killer Mike, David Banner, Jay-Z trying to get 21 Savage out.
Oh, he put that's on his Instagram, Jay, who barely posts. He was in his Instagram.
The state of hip-hop grew up.
Jay-Z, 9 hours ago, put, the arrest and detention of 21 Savage is an absolute travesty. His U visa petition has been pending for 4 years. So it's like he did file, but they're waiting. In addition to being a successful recording artist, 21 deserves to be reunited with his children immediately. Oh, so he pulled that Julian Castro move.
Mm. Hey, this is the state of hip-hop grew up.
Mm-hmm. So, and they're doing hashtag free 21 Savage. The cool thing is that Julian Castro just said this on Kimmel. He said, if we want the nation to be united, I think you should unite those children with those parents on the border.
Mm.
And this is kind of the same thing.
Social Savage. Justice.
Mm-hmm.
That's social justice.
Damn. Full circle on boys.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I was kind of thinking, since he just dropped that album and he's going to be held up, why not stay in the UK, get some touring in, hit up, you know what I'm saying?
Go international.
It's about to be like warm. It's about to get summery. Take advantage of it. Like,
use that narrative and blow up Europe.
Yes. Hit up every festival. Oh, you know, you can't hit up the, you know, hit up England, hit up Japan, hit up everything. Eastern Europe, hit up Africa, hit up everywhere you can.
Right.
Hit up Canada. Right?
Yep.
If you're from UK, that's part of the Commonwealth of Nations, so you can go to Australia and Canada like it's no one's business.
Right.
Because you're pretty much technically the same citizen. Mm-hmm. I would do that. I don't know. I, you know.
Get your, what are your thoughts? Get your paperwork together and do a tour of the U.S. too.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I like that. Keep rolling.
Shout out to Matt Sinzala who turned us on to traveling out of the country.
You got to get out there, man. You can't just be in your hometown. It's not going
to
work.
Matt Sinzala's speech to 21 Savage is like, yo, get out. So the next thing I want to talk about is kind of like what defines citizenship. You would have thought since he's been here since 2005, it's 2019, 14 years. And I'd say being a successful rapper and he's doing something. Yeah, I'm just saying, if I worked, I would, yeah, if I was working at the, for ICE or CPB or, you know, immigration services or whoever gives people passports, I'd be like, 21 Savage, can we just move this up? This guy's obviously.
Right. Can we finish
good
this?
Good at something. Not saying he's the best rapper ever, not, you know what I'm saying? But I do like the stuff. He is successful in doing things.
He is important. He's important. He's got a lot of fans, a lot of followers. He's growing in public, you know, which of course we've talked about. He's done a lot.
Who's more American? 21 Savage or Melania Trump?
Hmm.
Ask yourself that question, America.
Hmm.
So yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what defines citizenship. How long do you got to be here for them to count you as an American?
Hmm.
You know, because I know people who've been here for like 15, 20 years, got kids, properties, restaurants. They're still not an American citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult for them. You know? I don't know. I hope they figure that out. State of the Union, folks. It looks like we have one more segment in our Hip Hop Grew Up, and that is the Hip Hop Grew Up Roll Call. ATX edition.
Yep. And what have we been talking about this whole episode?
Social justice.
Social justice.
Yeah.
Yep. So, tell me what you know about Ruben Cantu.
DJ Big Baller?
Mm-hmm. Tell me what you know about him. Take me to the year 2000. We always end up talking
DJ
about
DJ Corrupt had this show that was on, like, Longhorn or like UT, like cable access at the time, and it was mm-hmm. called Urban Assault.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do interviews and, I guess, play videos and have mixes, or, right?
Right, when he was a teenager.
Mm-hmm. He was doing that.
Because even in high school, he's a young dude, you know, from East Side, O2.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, got into co-op radio around Brother K, DJ Corrupt.
That's
right. Produced shows, you know, was doing some filming. I think he filmed our Busta show we did at the Music Hall at that time.
He was a cinematographer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's all you remember about him?
Yes, and then these new ventures that you like? Keep
he
telling
was,
me.
He was hungry.
He just always had a smile on his face and just wanted to be in the mix and, like, make sure, you know, he was doing something good, contributing. That's what I remember.
Well, now, he is very much involved in social justice.
Explain.
Owns one of those co-op spaces like Nipsey Hussle has in Crenshaw.
He has one of those ones. It's like kind of like a coffee shop where you can kind of go in and kind of...
Business pitches, entrepreneurs.
Has Wi-Fi.
Venture capital. Yeah. Networking space.
Okay.
He has one.
In Austin?
Yes.
Where's it at?
North Lamar. Like if you take 290, 2222, mm-hmm. Koenig, etc., mm-hmm. all the way out.
Yeah.
Then when you get there, it's on the left.
Damn, right there?
Yep. Like, probably the first, maybe first.
So, like, right by the DPS?
Across the street from DPS. There's that Shell on the left?
Yep.
It's just past that. Like, before you even get to, what is that, a hamburger place, like Franz or something?
Right there.
In between those two.
Is the meeting space, and what is this meeting space called?
It's called the Impact Hub.
The Impact Hub?
Yep.
Okay.
So, young DJ Big Baller.
North Lamar in 2222.
The 2019 Black Elected Officials just gave him Community Leader of the... of the year.
Shout out to Ruben Cantu and O2.
He's got programs on programs. Level Up Institute, training the next wave of entrepreneurs, black and brown.
Ruben, let's link.
Lots of students, but I'm just getting started, man.
Damn.
You want to know what else he's doing?
What's he doing besides Big Baller stuff like that?
Same guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's the executive director of the Office of Inclusive Innovation and Entrepreneurship at UT Austin.
No way.
He got a master's in entrepreneurship when that was a new thing at UT Austin.
The OG of entrepreneurship.
Everyone is born with the capacity to be a genius, but only some are audacious to identify and develop their gifts to an exceptional level of excellence and share them with the world. The world is calling for more geniuses. Will you answer the call? Ruben is a first-generation college graduate raised in East Austin as a son of immigrants. He has a bachelor's in radio, TV, film. And a master's in technology commercialization. Technology commercialization from the Macomb School of Business. So he started startups, social entrepreneur, and really wants to use media and entrepreneurship that allows society to reflect on its condition and spur progressive change. Does it sound familiar?
Very.
Reflect on society's condition and spur progressive change.
This is our friend that used to DJ.
That's cultural proficiency.
Videographer.
Yep. So, yeah, since 2016, he's got a career accelerator for first-generation college students, historically low-income and marginalized backgrounds, teaches them startup skills through product management by industry experts, and it's a pathway to ending the world of tech startups.
Ruben can, too.
So now he has his own department at the University of Texas.
We appreciate you, Ruben.
It's a new department where this guy by the name of Dr. Leonard Moore, who actually sat in my workshop at Houston Tillerson.
Shout out to Mr. Moore.
On my fourth day of work. He was wise enough to bring Ruben on. And he's also an amazing mentor who's mentored, you know, and an amazing scholar.
So hip-hop grew up. Ruben Cantu is the first guy on the list who's done all those things you just said.
Yeah. Inclusive entrepreneurship and innovation is his office. So constantly doing lectures. What's this lecture series? Ruben Cantu on diversity and inclusion in today's marketplace happened on February 5th. Isn't that today?
Recently.
Yeah, very recently. There you go. He's doing lectures. Giving talks at the Texas Union. So the event summary was, he was talking about three key factors. Assessing your own biases and relationships to products, people, and paradigms.
Mm-hmm.
How innovation is truly a contact sport, and how to invest in inclusivity within your daily routine and its after effects.
Inclusivity, what you just told me.
investing in inclusivity.
Making people feel like they count.
Yep. So I'm the cultural proficiency and inclusiveness specialist. And this guy is the executive director of inclusive innovation and entrepreneurship.
That's my dude, Ruben Cantu. Who else is on the hip hop grew up roll call?
Let's one more hip hop social justice roll call.
And who's this?
So back in the day, this brother was like a DJ, producer. I know he hung with Dirty Worms a bit, Smackola. And he started directing a lot of videos for Austin Music Network for different groups. A brother by the name of Louis Fats. You know Louis Fats?
Sounds real familiar.
Well, long story short, Louis Fats was a video director when I met him, but very involved in the music scene, deeply involved in it, and also at a young age was incarcerated for manslaughter.
No way. How? Yep. Kill someone like drunk driving or something?
The report was like, you know, stabbing somebody over some money.
No way.
Yeah.
Here in Austin?
Or in the drug game type of thing. Yeah, here in Austin. But that was all before I ever met him. And so now, have you heard of Lewis Conway?
No.
So Lewis Conway basically proved that there was a law that wasn't really enforceable. And that law was that a felon can't run for office. He ran for city council, District 1.
No way.
Yep. And there was a lot of coverage on it, like national coverage, because he was a felon, formerly incarcerated, and ran for city council, District 1. So apparently, he changed the interpretation of that law and has been active in specifically, as we connect back to, you know, the whole Jay-Z, Travis Scott and all that, mm-hmm. shutting down prisons, and effectively has been a part of shutting down prisons. A couple in Texas.
Wow.
Same guy.
Active today.
DJed at the Yellow Rose for a while.
DJ Louis Fats. You guys showing what he looks like.
Yeah, now he's Lewis Conway Jr. Motivational speaker, businessman with his wife. But yeah, it's crazy. What's up, Nicole? So what do you think of that? If you killed somebody, are you fit to run for office? I mean, you know what I think, but just in general, how does that sound to you?
I think you judge a person's character by the way they act and by the way they, the actions they've done. And normally those actions have been done a long time ago and there's like a story behind it on why they did it. And you can kind of see the demeanor of the person and how they changed. Obviously, it seems like people were willing to forgive someone who's got a story like that more than someone they don't know, you know, like with no story.
Yeah, that's a comeback story.
Yeah, it's a comeback. Now, killing people, that's like a whole different level, you know? So that is kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say this was, I don't know, I think when it comes to like murder and like other crimes, you know, that I'm not even going to talk about right now, like it just it definitely calls in a question, like, alright, what, but I, you know, there's a narrative for everything and there's a situations for everything, mm-hmm. you know, and I think if people pay their time, like, I think that shit could be, that's, it should be like wiped off. And it kind of isn't, you know? It's kind of like, mm-hmm. well, it's kind of like lingers in there for people's work history and when they're voting and things like that. Like,
right.
And I think part of that needs to get fixed, for sure.
That's another thing he's been working on. I know one of the main organizations is mm-hmm. called Grassroots Leadership, but Restoring Voting Rights?
Uh-huh.
That's the work he's doing.
Oh, wow.
Crazy, right?
That's amazing.
And it's only possible because
hip-hop grew up.
Mm.
All right. Thank you guys for this week. Continue to listen to us next time.
Peace.